This week's Capital Ministry update is in regards to a BBC story that quickly reached 1 million people. Just days after a story about Ralph Drollinger and Capital Ministries was published by BBC News, a division of British Broadcasting Corporation, and distributed across the globe, it had reached more than 1 million readers worldwide. The story, written by BBC Washington correspondent Owen Amos, carried the headline, "Inside the White House Bible Study Group." Here's what it says in part. For the first time in at least 100 years, the U.S. Cabinet has a Bible study group. What do they learn? What does Donald Trump make of it? And why aren't women allowed to teach? Every Wednesday, some of the world's most powerful people meet in a conference room in Washington, D.C. to learn about God. The location cannot be revealed. The Secret Service won't allow it, but the members can. Vice President Mike Pence, Secretary of State Mike Pompeo, Education Secretary Betsy DeVos, Energy Secretary Rick Perry, Attorney General Jeff Sessions, the list goes on and on. So who is the man leading the United States' most influential Bible study? Step forward Ralph Drollinger, a 7-foot-tall basketball pro turned pastor, or as the 63-year-old describes himself, just a jock with some bad knees. Drollinger grew up in La Mesa, a suburb of San Diego, California. As a child, he rarely went to church, probably a half dozen times, he says, and didn't get far with the Bible. He said, "I always promised myself I'd read it, but every time I tried, it didn't make a whole lot of sense to me." In his last year of high school, after a basketball game, some cheerleaders invited him to Bible study. He went, and his world changed forever. "It was the first time I really heard the gospel," he says. "So I went home, read through the whole gospel of Matthew that night, and asked Jesus into my heart." In 1972, Drollinger went to the University of California in Los Angeles on a basketball scholarship. He attended a Bible teaching church, and over the next 4 years, he said he fell in love with the scriptures. After college, he could have played pro basketball. He was picked in the NBA draft 3 times, but each time turned it down. Drollinger says, "I sensed such a passion for ministry that everything paled in comparison." Instead, he signed for a Christian team called Athletes in Action. They played basketball around the world. 35 countries, he reckons, and preached the gospel at halftime. Drollinger said, quote, "That was kind of perfect for me because I really didn't like basketball, but I liked to preach," end quote. Drollinger did eventually turn pro, signing for the Dallas Mavericks in 1980, but only because he wanted to attend the seminary there. He played 6 games in the NBA and left after 1 season. After retiring from basketball, he worked in sports ministries before turning to politics in 1996. The road to the White House started with failing Christians in California. In 1996, Drollinger's wife Danielle was executive director of a political action committee in California trying to unseat liberals from the state legislature and get Christians elected. He said, quote, "But she was frustrated. They would send guys to California's capital, and she was great at getting them elected, but they would soon lose their Christian moorings," end quote. So they took over the existing ministry in Sacramento, changed the name, and offered weekly Bible studies, support, prayer, and one-on-one ministry. It proved wildly successful, so they expanded. Capital Ministries is now in 43 U.S. state capitals and more than 20 legislatures abroad. Each class is led by a local pastor, but none is led by a woman. Why not? Drollinger says there's no biblical prohibition of female leadership in commerce, there's no prohibition of female leadership in the state, and there's no prohibition of female leadership over children. But there is a prohibition of female leadership in marriage, and female leadership in the church, and those are clear in Scripture. It doesn't mean in an egalitarian sense that a woman is of lesser importance. It's just that they have different roles. In 2010, Capital Ministries arrived in Washington. There was already a ministry called the Fellowship, which runs the National Prayer Breakfast, but Drollinger felt it had lost its marbles biblically, he said. It was, he says, candy floss Christianity, big, sweet, unsubstantial. By contrast, he wants to offer a high-protein diet, teaching the Bible book by book, one verse at a time. In Drollinger's studies, it can take 1 year to finish one book. Drollinger says, quote, if you don't have a spiritual coach that's really driving you in the Word of God and driving you toward holiness rather than your own sinful, latent nature and your own depravity, then you're not going to grow in Christ's likeness, end quote. The fellowship, he says, believes legislators can do Bible study among themselves. I say no, technical foul. How will they hear without a preacher? Romans 10:15. Capital Ministries began a Bible study for representatives in 2010, which now has almost 50 members. When four of the group were elected to the Senate, they asked for a senator's class, which began in 2015. Last March, 2 months after Donald Trump took office, the same process led to a group for cabinet members. Drollinger said, quote, Trump started appointing to his cabinet all the guys that were in our House and Senate Bible study, a trend he attributes to Vice President Mike Pence, who knew who those strong believers were. Unlike our secular media, Drollinger says he and others saw the appointees had something in common. They were strong in Christ. So Jeff Sessions, former Health Secretary Tom Price, and others said, let's start a ministry, a cabinet Bible study. President Trump is not a member of Drollinger's group, but he is a Christian and does get Drollinger's 8-page printouts most weeks. He writes me back notes on my Bible study, says Drollinger. He's got this leaky Sharpie felt-tip pen that he writes all capital letters with. Way to go, Ralph. Really like this study. Keep it up. Stuff like that. Drollinger's weekly Bible studies are not private or secret. Anyone can read them online. On same-sex marriage, he writes, homosexuality and same-sex ceremonies are illegitimate in God's eyes. His word is repetitive, perspicuous, clearly expressed, and stayed on the subject. On capitalism, he writes, the right to personal property, also known as free enterprise or capitalism, is the governmental economic system supported by Scripture. Scripture does not support communism. And on debt, Drollinger writes, it is bad stewardship and downright foolishness for an individual, family, or country to borrow in order to cover expenses that far, far exceed income. So if politicians should learn from the Bible, should, for example, gay people be put to death? No, says Drollinger. Some civil laws from the Old Testament should not apply. I think that was for ancient Israel, he said, but it's not for the church. Adding he doesn't import the whole kit and caboodle of Old Testament law like the clumsy theonomist would. Drollinger likens himself to a waiter in a restaurant. These lessons aren't his. He is merely serving the Word of God as revealed in the Bible to self-professed Christians. Drollinger says, if God is the chef, then I'm just the servant, and I hope the guys like the meal. But on the way out of the kitchen, I'm not going to alter what's on the plate. So my job is just to be a servant. And if people don't like the message or, to put it his way, the meal, you have to go talk to the chef, God, unless I've altered what's on the plate, which hopefully in my discipline I don't. Drollinger believes the Bible teaches the separation of church and state. We have to differentiate, he says. And unfortunately, a lot of our evangelical religious right advocates have not made this differentiation. In January, when a New York Times opinion piece described Drollinger and others as Christian nationalists, he wrote a 1,400-word letter to complain. What was his objection? It has the idea of tyranny when you take it to its extreme, he said. It means that I'm meeting with the cabinet members clandestinely in order to overthrow the government, in the form that we presently have, for a theocracy. I mean, at the end of the day, that's the accusation, and I have to be strong on that. But is a Bible study for cabinet members with political themes not a merging of church and state? Drawlinger says, I believe in institutional separation, but not influential separation. No matter what the institution is, the family, commerce, education, it needs the bulwark precepts of the Word of God in order to function correctly. But the minute I start to amalgamate the church and the state institutionally, then I'm into theocracy. Drawlinger never tells his members how to vote or which policies to pursue, but he hopes it becomes obvious by teaching them the Bible. He said, quote, I will put the blueprints on the engineer's seat on the train, and it will show you the right tracks to the station. But I'm not going to tell you what tracks to take. But you've got to be pretty stupid not to follow the blueprint because it's there, end quote. Drawlinger describes himself as Republican conservative. I don't think there's any mystery about that. He rails against environmental wackos, as he puts it, but wants good stewardship of the environment, thinks the welfare state begins with the family, followed by the church, though doesn't rule out state intervention, and has supported Donald Trump since he was a long shot in the primaries. Drawlinger said, of all the Bible studies I've written on policy, Trump's enacting everything I've written. Drawlinger doesn't necessarily think Trump is working off of my blueprint, but he's coming from the same place I am in terms of biblical understanding of the issues. Drawlinger lives in California and flies into Washington for his classes, which usually take place from Monday to Wednesday. Capital Ministries is a nonprofit organization funded by donations. He and Danielle are paid salaries, but say they do not take the full amount. So how does it feel on a Wednesday morning to teach the Bible to some of the world's most powerful people? Drawlinger says, one of the emotions is, who am I to be here? You know, kind of like Moses. Lord, I can't even speak. I'm just a jock with some bad knees, and here I am. Only you, God, could have done this. Why me? So that goes through my mind a lot, and I think that's healthy. But then there's the other standpoint, where I sense that I've got 21 years of expositing the Word of God, specifically to apply to the life of a public servant. So in that sense, I feel like I'm the most qualified guy in the world.